for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday afternoon service of May the 26th, 1995, of the Memorial Day camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null is the speaker for the afternoon. Should this tape for any reason prove to be defective, please explain and return for replacement. Thank you.
Dr. Bill Null is head of a clinic in Salina, Kansas, and we're blessed for him to come and bless us each camp meeting, to be in charge of the morning prayer meeting along with Jesus, and then to help with the deliverance sessions throughout the camp meeting. And we bless Dr. Null and bless his faithfulness to the Lord and to Irma and I and to the campground. Dr. Null.
Praise you, Jesus. I'm not in charge of the clinic, Glenn.
Well, Jesus is there.
Praise God. I didn't work there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my sight, of my heart, be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Lord Jesus, we come before you this day. Just praise you and bless you and we glorify you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come forth, Lord.
Yes.
That your anointing, Lord God, for it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. Lord, that your spirit will quicken your word to your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and bless you and we glorify you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to talk today about the accursed thing. About four weeks ago, a brother of the church stopped me in the parking lot and told me, he was a young man, and told me he was, that God had delivered him, he'd gotten saved, that God had delivered him, God had set him free, that he'd just gone through a disastrous divorce and was thinking about suicide, and that some brothers had brought him to the church, and he got gloriously saved and delivered from alcohol and drugs, and he'd been set free, and he was just having, and he felt so good, only he had a problem that was afflicting him, and he needed prayer for it. And I said, well, why didn't you come up after the service? Well, you don't understand. It's a personal problem. I said, I see. And I knew immediately what he was speaking about. He was having problems with his sexual desire. And I said, very well, you come up after the next service, and I will pray for you quietly, and you won't be embarrassed, and I'm sure God will set you free. And so, the next day I went into the It's a problem that you, it's a common problem for men. And it's one that, men have a hard time standing against. And I was thinking about it. And I opened my Bible. God gave me a verse. And I want you to open to Joshua chapter 6, verse 18. And you and him, God, the Holy Spirit, is talking to Joshua, and he's giving him the instructions on how to march around the city and how to bring about the destruction of Jericho, which had very high walls, heavily defended. And he comes down to verse 18, and he tells them that everything in the city is to be doomed except Rahab the prostitute and her household. In verse 18, and you, by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. That was the verse God gave me. But all the gold and the silver and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord, and shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And so I looked at that, and I said, well, there has to be some reason for that. So I just began to read. And I got down to chapter 7, verse 10. And here you remember that Ai, Joshua sent 3,000 men up to a little town called Ai, and they turned and ran. When they got back, and Joshua said, you ran and you lost men. And he fell down before the Lord and tore his clothes, put dust on his head and said, oh God, the Canaanite kings are going to hear this and they're all going to join together and they're going to be scared of us anymore. They're going to come kill us because there's so many more of them than us. And God said, get up off the ground. Get up off the ground. What are you doing lying there? And so we come to verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up, why liest thou on thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded. For they have taken some of the accursed things, both stolen and deceived, and put them with their own stock. Therefore, because of this, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they became doomed to destruction. And I said, oh, you mean, Lord, if we take of the accursed thing, we can't stand before our enemies, that we will turn and run from them? He said, yeah, that's right. Well, let's look back over here in Deuteronomy now. Chapter 7. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, verse 25, you shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the gold or silver that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you become doomed to destruction like it. But you shall utterly detest it and abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Well, what is an accursed thing? An accursed thing is something that is set aside for total destruction. It means the curse of God is on it. Well, an abomination is an accursed thing. So it means if you've got abominations in your life, accursed things in your life, you can't stand before God. God won't look at you. And you can't stand before the enemy. You'll turn and you'll run. I said, oh, okay. And then we look over at Deuteronomy 18. And this is a chapter, I've read this a number of times. And it refers to the occult. And Brother Tommy pointed this out to me once. It says, you shall not, 18:9, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. You shall not be found upon you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, abortion, a child sacrifice, one who practices witchcraft, a soothsayer, interprets omens, a sorcerer, that's witchcraft and sorcery, conjures a spell, that's a hypnotist, a medium, a spiritualist, or a necromancer. For all who do these things are an abomination to God. If you do them, you're an abomination to God. Utterly detestable to Him. An accursed thing, doomed to destruction. I said, Lord, where else do we see this then? And the thing, that was the week that the pastor had asked me to talk on tithing, on giving. He'd asked me, we have a building program going on at the church, and he asked me if I'd get up and talk to the people about giving, because we need to, our school has outgrown the building that we're in. We have good giving people in our church. Always respond to a need if the Holy Spirit touches them. And so I said, well, I'll get up and I'll talk to them about giving. He wanted to know if I talked about giving to the building program. I said, I just talk about giving. Because God's got to touch them to give to the building program. And so God said, look at Malachi. And so I turned over to look at Malachi. And you remember Malachi is the last verse, chapter before the New Testament. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. In Malachi 8, it says, will you rob God? Now, you remember back then, Joshua. Let's go back over here to Joshua 6:24 for a minute. Keep your hands in, Malachi, because we'll be back there in a minute. Let's go back over here to Joshua. Joshua 7:11. They have taken some of the cursed things they have both stolen and deceived and put them in their own stuff. Therefore, they are cursed, doomed to destruction. Now, we'll look back over here. Now, go back to Malachi 3:8. Say, will you rob God? Yet you have robbed... Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Because of that, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Folks say, well, that's Old Testament. That's the law. And we've been delivered from the law. The Bible says in Romans that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He is your righteousness. You will not become righteous before God by keeping the law, because nobody was ever able to keep it but Jesus. You can't keep it. You try, but you can't. Nobody's ever been able to do it but Jesus. He was the end of the law for righteousness. But he said the law would not pass away. It's not a dot or a tittle, not even a little dot or a little apostrophe, is going to pass away until it's fulfilled. My words won't ever pass away. This earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. And so you come back, and when you, there's one other thing I'll point out to you. Let's look at Malachi 3. I want you to hold your finger in Malachi 3 and go over to Mark chapter 1. And you see, the first verse in chapter 3 says, behold, I send my messenger, he will pave the way before me. Mark chapter 1, verse 2, it's written in the prophets. Behold, I will send my messenger before me who will prepare your way before you. Well, this is a prophecy about Jesus, isn't it? The whole chapter 3, you see, is written about Jesus Christ. And you read on down here, following back in Malachi now, and the Lord whom you seek, Jesus, will suddenly come into the temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? He will be like the refiner's fire and the full of soap, and he will sit as a refiner and purify of silver. And so you see, and then he goes on down and tells you who he's going to judge. He says, I don't change. And then he says, you're robbing me. And that's to Christians today, people. And I say to you, when somebody asks me to pray for their finances, I have people who ask me that will come up and they'll ask me to pray for their finances. And I say to them, do you tithe? And they say, I can't afford to. And that's the usual answer, is I can't afford to tithe. And I say, you can't afford not to. But I say, brother, you want to contend with God for your finances. You want to steal from him and fight him for your finances. That's fine. You do that. But please don't involve me in it. I don't want to be involved in fighting God for your finances. If you're going to contend for God and not tithe, then you don't need me praying for your finances. Now, I pray that God will give you a revelation of tithing that you might tithe, that he can rebuke the devourer for you. But I'm not going to pray that you get more money, because you have partaken of the accursed thing. You've taken God's gold. That is dedicated to him. 10% is dedicated to him. And when you partake of the accursed thing, that's his, you can't stand against your enemy. What happens to you when you do that and you can't stand? Let's look at Haggai. Now, Haggai is about three prophets back, about 20 pages in my Bible. And he says, Haggai chapter 1, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in panel houses while this temple lies in ruins? God had been telling his people by prophets to rebuild that temple for 20 years. And they're all saying they couldn't afford to. They had to get their own house in order, and they had to get their fields in order, and they had to do this, and they had to do that. And they just didn't have the time or the money to go worry about God. And he says, consider your ways. You've sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them in a bag with a hole in the bottom. How many of y'all feel like you got a hole in the bottom of your money sack? And you pull money in the top and just sort of runs out the bottom. Well, it goes on here and he says, test me in this. Down in verse 10, back in Malachi 3. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, let me be food in my house. And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive them. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, that he will not destroy the fruit of the ground, for the vine shall not fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord God of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be in a delightful land, says the Lord. What is the devourer? The devourer is when you can't stand against your enemy and your car breaks down. You know, the transmission. Something goes wrong with a transmission. Oh, goodness. Well, you get in there and you hear that rattle. And you say, oh, goodness, that's a $300 rattle. And you get that one fixed this month. And next month, the transmission. Something wrong with it. And then the carburetor goes bad. You got to buy a new carburetor. That's another $300. And then the fuel pump starts leaking. That's the devourer. The devil is stealing your finances. And you get your car to working and the washing machine breaks down. And the refrigerator goes bad. And the roof leaks. And the furnace breaks. And the air conditioner goes bad. And then the kids get sick and you gotta go to the doctor and spend $200 on medicine. And penicillin don't work and you gotta have Vantin, which costs $200. That's the devourer. You can't stand before him because you've taken to the accursed thing. That's what God said it meant. That's what it means. And so God calls you to tithe. Your tithe is a standard. You give that just like the government income tax. How many of you decide you can't afford to pay your income tax? Any of y'all ever decide you couldn't afford to pay your income tax? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you don't, they send a gentleman by to see you. And he is not very sympathetic. I mean, he garnishes your wages and freezes your bank account. You write a check and it comes back. The government took all the money out of your bank account. They don't even tell you. I mean, the government gets to be the devourer. Everybody pays the income tax. You pay your income tax, so you don't have any choice. Your employer takes it out of your wages. God allows you to be a creature of free will. Pay your tithes, people, first. Pay your tithes. Let God bless you. Don't partake of the accursed thing. And at times God will call you and he'll say, I want you to give. I want you to give. In Haggai's time, he said, I want you to give to the temple. And all those folks that can't afford to. Got to get my own house fixed up first. Got to fix my house. Got to get the fences fixed. Got a chance to buy some more sheep so I can get bigger, make more money. And he said, yeah, that's fine. But you're not getting much out of the grain you're sowing. I'm going to withhold the dew so it won't rain, no sheep will have any grass to eat. Because you didn't do the offering I called you to. Now, each one of you have to decide what God wants you to give offerings to. He'll speak to you if you seek him, and he'll bless you. You know, you can't outgive God. Here there is truth in the giving. Luke says, give. You got need, you give. And be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing shall be poured into your bosom. The measure you give, we measure it back to you. God says give. And so, but refusing to give an offering that the Holy Spirit has touched you for is to partake of the accursed prayer. That's what it says in Haggai. Keep God's tithe is to take of the cursed thing, and you will not be able to stand before the enemy. I said, Lord, what else then? And he led me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And you're all familiar with all these verses. These are all very common verses. Everybody's heard these verses before, but I'd never seen them in this context. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. I said, Lord, you mean to tell me that the accursed thing is when we entertain bad thoughts in our mind? He said, that's the reason that man can't stand against his personal problem. He has these fanciful lusts in his mind. He lets them come in, and he dwells on them, and he enjoys them. And he can't stand against it. I said, And so, envy. Let's look at some strongholds. Some accursed things that come into your mind. Envy. Jealousy. Self-seeking. Selfishness. Self-pity. Let's look at James. See what James says about these. James chapter 3, verse 13. But if you have bitter envy, well, let's look at chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking and selfish ambition exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. Envy and jealousy, self-seeking, self-pity. You have self-pity in your heart, and you dwell on self-pity, and you think about how they stole from you, how they cheated you, and you feel sorry about it, and you sit down and you cry, and you whine, and you get angry and bitter and mad about it. But the main thing is you become self-pity. You center on yourself. I once got up in church. We were studying the Antichrist spirit. We were studying. I got up in church and I asked them to look at 1 John chapter 4. And it says here, beloved, do not ever believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Know whether of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you shall know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is him. Now, Antichrist means instead of Christ. It doesn't mean against Christ. It means instead of. And when you've got self on the throne, you've got an Antichrist spirit. You got the ungodly triune God. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. That is the ungodly triune God. And when that's on the throne in your heart, and you center in on my, me, how they hurt me, what am I going to get for me and for mine? What's this going to do for me? You're partaking of the accursed thing. And you will not be able to stand against the enemy. You will turn and run. Self-pity. I remember I was ministering to a young man who had had trouble with a number of various different drugs. He had a very hard life. He had had a stepmother who had brutally abused him, both psychologically, physically, and sexually. And he was bitter, and God gave him a wonderful woman. He'd gotten one divorce, and children, bitter over this, and kept putting him in the treatment center, and he'd do good for about 3 or 4 months, and then he'd fall. And he'd go to AA, and he would do good for about 3 or 4 months, and then he'd fall. And they brought him into the church, and they asked me to pray for him for deliverance from this bondage spirit. And I had a stick experience. You know what a stick is like? I mean, you put your hands on this stick and pray for it, you know. I mean, nothing happened. I mean, I prayed my heart out, but there wasn't nothing happened. And I couldn't break through. He was there because they had pressured him. And I liked him. He disappeared once for 6 months, and I prayed for him every day to come back. And he showed up one day, and I wept. I openly wept when he came back. I liked the kid. He was a nice fellow. And then God gave him a nice wife. He's married, and they took care of him, and he just couldn't stand. And one day, God said to me, go up there and tell him that his problem is that he has a spirit of self-pity, that he feels sorry for himself, and that when he turns over that spirit of self-pity to me, he will be able to stand against the enemy. So I went up there, I myself, into the hospital, up to the fourth floor, to the treatment center, and went into the room there, and this was back when they let him stay 30 days, and the insurance used to pay for it. And I sat there and I talked to him for a while, and I told him, I called him my name. I said, I have a word from God for you. Okay? I said, the Lord told me to tell you that when you quit feeling sorry for yourself and you stand against this spirit of self-pity that is coming into you, and you cry and you'll bear over the things that have happened to you, and you forgive these people who have hurt you, and you move on and leave that behind you, you're going to be healed. And I thought he was going to hit me. I mean, he turned red and white and blue and angry, and I left. But you know God is faithful. You know God's faithful.
Amen.
He's faithful. God spoke to him in the night. He told his wife the next day. Said, God spoke to me and said, how dare you? How dare you threaten my prophet that I sent to you? Came out of the hospital the next day, and he's never had another problem.
Hallelujah.
Never had another problem.
Hallelujah.
He was able to repent and walk away. God is faithful.
Hallelujah.
Faithful. Praise you, Lord God. But I tell you that self-pity, selfish ambition, envy and jealousy are the accursed thing, people. And you won't be able to stand. Won't be able to stand before the power of the enemy. You will run. You will turn your back and run because you can't stand, and you can't stand the pressure he'll put on you. Area, stronghold of mine was lust. Now, you remember that the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Okay? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. I've read this. It is the will of God, 4:3, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in a passion of lust like the heathen who do not know God. That no one should take advantage or defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is avenger of all such as we forewarn and testify. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us the Holy Spirit. And he said, fantasy lust is an accursed thing. Everybody knows that fornicating acts are accursed things. But fantasy lust, thinking about it, that's what that young man was doing, was enjoying it. And he couldn't stand, although he tried. Fantasies. Looking at the jigglers on television. You know, the jigglers that sort of jiggle across their scantily clad young ladies that sort of jiggle across the stage. X-rated movies. R-rated movies. On Showtime. HBO. Or adult channels at the Holiday Inn for $5 and some odd cents a night or some such thing. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. My God. My God. The lust for power. Lust for power. Daydreaming. William Wordsworth, the poet, said, the saddest words of tongue and pen, it might have been. That's what he said. And so many of us look at the past and think how we could have changed that and how much better it would be. We just done this. If only I'd just done this, and you sit, and a lot of people will do this with their finances, with their investments, with their girlfriends, with the houses, with relationships. And they will sit and they will daydream and they will fantasize some way that will make them important, will come out the way that they want it to. People, that's selfish. That's self-centered. And to God is an accursed thing. There's nothing wrong with learning from the mistakes of the past. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sitting down and daydreaming for hours on end about what would have happened if you'd done this, how much money you would have made, or how important you would be, or how many big possessions you would have, or how many people you would control. Our witchcraft. We read Deuteronomy 18:9-12. We're going to read again. We went through that. Those are abominations to God. But it's the fantasy in your mind. The mind is your battleground. That is the accursed thing. Things. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:3-5, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for the saints. I like the New International Version a little bit better. It says there should not be a hint of sexual immorality among God's people. Not even a hint. Neither foolish filthiness, or foolish talking, or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but the rather for giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God or Christ. You mean that if I covet something, I'm an idolater?
That's what it says.
Now, coveting is in your mind. Just like greed is in your mind. That's an accursed thing. Makes you an idolater. I had a pastor's wife came to me, and she said, I don't understand. And she named a couple in the church, and she said, these people are always having financial difficulty. And they're tithers. And they give to offerings. But they're always in financial hot water. They're always having problems that they can't stand against. And I said, well, let's pray about it. And God said to me, covetousness. I said, well, she covets. She said, well, that's true. She works in this rich lady's house, and she's always complaining about what this lady has that she would like to have. She's always coveting the furniture and the furnishings and the nice things, and want to know why this rich lady has this and she doesn't. That's a problem. She's covetous. That makes her an idolater. She partook of the accursed thing. She coveted. Coveted. She made, put a faith in mammon. You can't serve two gods, people. Man cannot serve two masters. You serve one, hate the other. Man cannot serve God and mammon. Now, most of the time, mammon is translated riches, but the actual Greek derivation of the word comes from that which you put your trust in. Most people put their trust in that. That's what they put their trust in. The dollar bill. Money. Riches. Uncertain riches. When you covet, let's look at a comparison verse in Colossians 3, 5-9. We'll look at it quickly. I'll read it to you. Don't turn there. It says, do not lie. Colossians. Dear Lord Jesus, where is it, Lord? I'm looking down too far down. 5. Put to death in your members fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now, I want you to look back up at Ephesians, though, at that second verse. This is an aside. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but the giving of thanks. People, you can't be involved. Gentlemen, you can't be involved in the telling of dirty jokes. Of rough talk. Even if you can't sit and listen to that garbage. If you entertain it, you see, it goes into your ears and down into your heart. And what goes in will come back out. If you sit there and partake of it hour after hour. You can't participate in that. What happens if you do? What happens if you get involved in telling of dirty jokes and rough talk? Well, let's go down to back up into verse chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Put a guard on your mouth, people. I tell you this, there's several things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. One is foul mouth, talking about people, lying, malice, clamor, anger, and rebellion. And when you're grieving, you're without his power.
You see, Jesus said to them, wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. You grieve him,
you're without his power. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him.
Okay. So lust, you can lust for sexual things, for power, for things. And the last one is money. Money. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Some years ago, when I first came into the fullness of the Spirit of God, back in 1975, 20 years ago, I was in a denominational church, and the pastor was a little irritated about me. So he handed me a copy of The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. So you read this, Bill. This'll stimulate you. I could read about 20 pages of it and wrap a cold towel around my head, you know, and shake my head. And I'd read about 5 or 10 pages and have to go back over it. But the thing that really shocked me was I didn't know any normal Christians after I read Watchman Nee. I didn't know any normal Christians. And what he did do for me, he convinced me that the Word of God was true. That it was actually true. That it did not have to be compromised. That if the Word of God said something, it was true. And if my experience did not agree with the Word of God, and there was something wrong with the way I was perceiving my experience. And he had another little book, and he said, 6 were sure roads to hell. And the first one was the desire to get rich. And he did a dissertation on this verse. At that time, my great desire was to make a great deal of money. Actually, my God was the dollar bill. I was serving mammon. And God convicted me that day. It said, those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation and a snare. And many foolish and harmful lusts will drown men in destruction and perdition. What that says is, if you really desire to be rich, you'll be tempted to cheat and lie a little bit, stretch your build a little bit, lie about your people around you to get promoted over them. Lie about your hours, stretch things. And once you start doing this, it becomes a snare to you, and you get snared. And you know you don't think you're doing wrong anymore. Suddenly your conscience has been seared, and you don't feel like it's wrong anymore. You're just trying to get ahead. And you can quote scriptures to do it. I remember I had a man in the Air Force that did all this, and I asked him, how in the world could he live at night? The book says them what do not provide for their own family is worse than the infidel, and I'm providing for mine. He was stealing to do it. And so he used the Bible to justify it. But it says you will be into many foolish and harmful lusts which will drown men in destruction and perdition. And where this is so seductive is that you will daydream about what could have been, how you could have made money, and how you could do this, and how this money could multiply, and if you just done this or that, or if you hadn't lost this, that, and you can sit for hours and daydream about it, and you're partaking of the accursed thing. And the enemy has a right to harass you. You will not be able to stand. The last one is probably one of the hardest ones that I'm going to talk about is lying. Let's look at Colossians 3, 5-9. We've already read 3, 5, and 6, in which you want to walk when you live with them. But now you must put off all anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, and do not lie to one another, for you have put off the old man with his deeds. Lying. People, God hates a liar. Revelation 21 says that they're going to be put in the fiery pit along with the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and all those bad folks. And Revelation 22 says they're going to be locked outside of the holy city along with the witches and the fornicators and the fearful and those who love a lie. But lying is... I remember this evangelist. And he called it evangelistic talk. How many folks you had to meet? Man, I had 100. 12 people there. What kind of offerings you get? $1,500 offering. 150. Feel, makes yourself feel good and look good among his peers. That's a lie. It's a lie. And it's an abomination to God. It's partaking of the accursed thing. One of the things he said about Smith Wigglesworth, the people who knew Smith said that he would tell the, that he would give examples from his ministry. If they heard him give an example today, and they heard it in 20 years later, he had not changed it, he had not embellished it one bit. He had never embellished it, he'd never dressed it up a little bit to make it look better. Was still the same example. You know, people, when you tell the truth, you got a lot less to remember. When you embellish these things, you got to remember what happened, and you got to remember how you've embellished it the last time. And you've embellished a little bit more every time. You've got about 15 stories about one thing happened. And so it's just easier, you know, from a poor, simple man like me, it's easier for me to tell truth all the time. I've got that way I have less to remember. Particularly when they put you on tape. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. But lying. I used to be a great kidder, and I used to kid people. And God gave me this verse one day when my nurse was working late, and she was harassed, and we wanted to leave. She wanted to leave, and she had something to do at 5:15. And so about 4:30, the phone rang, and I picked it up, and I talked to somebody, and I don't remember what he was now, but I hung up the phone. He says, "What was it?" And I told the name of a patient, a chronic patient, always coming in. And I said, "You know, she'll be here at 5:30. We're going to wait on her." And I walked out. And I came back in, and Rita was crying, and she was on the phone, and she was changing her plans. She was calling her family and calling these people and telling them not to come, that she's going to be late. And I felt like a dog. I felt like a dog. And I said, Rita, I was only kidding you. And she did not take it well. She did not take it well. I mean, she did not take it well at all. And she left. She left the office. She went up front, to the front desk. Tried to straighten the mess out. And while I was sitting there feeling sort of, you know, sort of bad, I just didn't go like I wanted it to. God gave me a verse. He said, read Proverbs 26:18. And I mean, he actually gave me the verse, the chapter and the verse. And so I thought I'd better read it. And it says him, 26:18, Proverbs, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. When you lie, you partake of the accursed thing. When you lie, you partake of the accursed thing and you get open to the enemy. Whether you're lying to your wife, your husband, to your children. People, I don't even believe in lying about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. I think it's wrong. I tell my parents that they shouldn't ever lie to their children. There's sometimes that you just say, I prefer not to answer that. Because if you're going to have to lie, just say, I don't want to answer it. And they say, why? Because I'm mama, that's why. And they say, yes, ma'am. But don't lie about it. And I don't believe in lying about Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy or any of the other legends. Antichrist legends. Praise you, Lord. Let's look at Galatians 5. Now, we've talked a lot about accursed things.
And I want to show you where they appear and where they come from. Almost everything that I've talked about now is found in these verses, chapter 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, or uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and the like. Almost everything that I have talked about is there in one form or another. Now, those are the works of the flesh. That's the old man. You don't send him to Sunday school. You don't teach him Bible verses. You don't try to reform him. Put him to death. He was crucified with Jesus. You stand against him. You don't let him resurrect. Now, if you have something in that list that you cannot set your will against, and you just can't stand against it, even though you set your will, and you try, and you pray and you ask God, and you try, and you cannot stand against it, then you've got a demon. You've got a demon there. And he needs to be cast out. You can't cast the flesh out. But you can cast out the demonic forces that the flesh lets in. Uncrucified flesh is always grounds for the demons to come in. It's the accursed thing. And when you yield to it, you will not be able to stand to you against your enemies. You will turn your back on him and run. And he'll catch you. You can't outrun him. I'll tell you that about the devil. You can't outrun him and you can't hide from him. Only place you can't hide from him. Jesus said, having done all, stand. Let's look at that. Let's turn over to the next epistle and look at Ephesians 6. Now, you've all read this before. Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you shall be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. What does that word stand mean? It's a military term, people. And it was the toughest command that a Roman legionnaire could give his troops. You see, the armor is fashioned after the Roman soldier. That's the descriptive mode that the Holy Spirit chose to use. And he also told you to stand as a Roman soldier stand. And when you got that order to stand, you stood there. And you had your sword in your hand and your shield, and you didn't back up. Because he said, you stand, and I'm going to come back an hour. You either be standing here, or you'll be on the ground dead. But you don't turn and run, you don't move. And that's what Jesus said. Having done all, you stand against the flesh. Now the enemy, the evil principalities and powers, they know your weaknesses. And they will speak to your flesh. They will stir up your flesh. And they will manipulate the situation around you. Nothing occurs by chance in this world. Nothing occurs by chance. Did you know that a lottery doesn't occur by chance? Nothing occurs by chance. It's all controlled by the invisible powers. Everything you see in this room will pass away. But the invisible, the spiritual forces will never pass away. Eternal. Folks, someday God may open your eyes that you might see the invisible world. Don't pray and ask him to, because the devil might accommodate you. The devil might accommodate you. And you stand, because the enemy is manipulating situations around you to try to make you partake of the accursed thing. So you'll turn and run. You will not be able to stand if you partake of the accursed thing. and the battleground is your mind. Once he beats you in your mind, he can get you to do the act. Get you to do the act. When you say, what are we supposed to talk about? You said we can't tell jokes. We can't gossip. Can't lie. Can't go off and tale-bear about people. What are we supposed to talk about? Well, let's look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Don't partake of the accursed thing. Here's the list that you're to meditate on. Meditate on Jesus. Let's look at Ephesians 5 now, 5:18-21. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's what's supposed to come out of your mouth, people. And that's what you're supposed to think about instead of the accursed thing. Praise you, Lord Jesus. That's the accursed thing. The accursed thing is an abomination to God. It's something that's set apart for destruction. I've got about 15 other things I could put on the list. But these were the ones that God wanted me to talk about today. And I say to you, guard your mind and your hearts. There are three sources for thoughts in your mind. One, bring it up yourself. Think about it. Two, Holy Spirit brings it up with the intuition. Three, the enemy brings it up. And if you entertain it, you'll be entertaining the accursed thing. That's the reason that so many Christians have trouble standing in their lives. Standing. Of course, they've got, lots of them have got pastors tell them it's all right. I've even had pastors tell me that abortion was okay. It's not really a baby. It's a fetus. Never heard of anything so stupid. When I said to one of them, there was this pregnant lady, or there was about 8 months pregnant, I said, go ask that lady how her fetus is doing. Go ask her how her fetus is doing. Ask that 3-month pregnant lady over there who wants how her fetus is doing. She'll tell you that's her baby. Only when you want to kill it would you ever entertain anything so ridiculous. But as an educated man, he has accepted that mainline denominational church stand that it is not a baby, it is a fetus, not an individual. Even though in half the cases it's separate sex, a different sex has its own genetic code, its own soul. Oh, God, don't get me started on that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's all stand up and praise him a little bit. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, pour out your spirit, Lord God. Oh, God, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Build us up in our faith, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we praise you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Now, you can all, let's sit down. Okay. Are we going to have a mass deliverance service? I'm going to call out some of the accursed things. And for those of you who have never been in a mass deliverance service, what we generally do, what I will do, is I will lead you in a renunciation prayer. And then we will renounce the spirits, and then I will call them out. What I want you to do is sit, listen to what's said, both feet on the floor. Don't cross your legs. Keep both feet flat on the floor. And if you have, and let what happens happen. Spirits are air. The Greek word for spirit is pneumo, like a pneumatic tire, or like pneumonia, means it's air. And they generally come out of the breathing passages. They sometimes come out quietly. Sometimes they come out with a cough or yarn. Sometimes they come out with a scream. Sometimes they come out with a quick jerk. The word cast out means to give a quick jerk or to vomit. Let what happens, happens. If you feel it coming up, push it out. Don't hold on to it. If you have to choose, I said last night, you have to choose between your dignity and your demons. Let your demons go, because you can get your dignity back. I will call out the demons. I don't have a list of demons. I call out the demons that God gives me to call out. At the end, I'll ask if anything anybody else wants to call out. Don't pick and choose, saying, well, I might got that one, or I don't have that one, I got this, no, no. Just say, if I got God, you push it out of me. I don't want it. Praise your Lord Jesus. Okay. Say, dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, conviction of spirit, do I make this following confession? I have sinned against you and disobeyed your word, whether it's through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity. I do now repent of these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors which I've opened to Satan. And I ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I renounce the following. The occult. Witchcraft and magic. Seances. Clairvoyance and mediums. Familiar spirits. Ouija boards. Other occult games. Fortune telling. Palm reading. Tea leaf reading. Crystal balls. Tarots. Card laying. Horoscopes. Signs of the zodiac. Astrology. The heresy of reincarnation. All hypnosis. Mind reading. Mind control. Second sight. ESP. And parapsychology. I renounce all water witching. Dowsing. Levitation. Body lifting. Table tipping. Psychometry. Automatic writing. I renounce astral projection. Soul travel. Thought projection. And other demonic skills. I renounce all mind control. The power of positive thinking. Positive control salesmanship. And demonic power to impose my will on others. I renounce all sorcery. Dependence on talisman. Such as St. Christopher's medals. Mary medallions. Good luck charms. Rabbit's foots. Four-leaf clovers. Wishbones. Potions and ailments. Vow will destroy any that own my person. Under my control. I vow will destroy all idols. Foreign gods. Such as Buddhas. Mexican sun gods. Signs of the zodiac. Voodoo dolls. Egyptian anchors. Or other abominations. On my person. Or under my control. I renounce all literature I've ever read in these fields. And vow will destroy such books in my possession. Or under my control. Or in my house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break the following. All curses, hexes, spells, jinxes, vexes, and charms placed on me from any occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy. 10 generations back on my family line. I break the curse of incest. 10 generations back on my family line. I break the curse of whoredom. Idolatry. Off my family line. I renounce any oaths I my ancestors ever made. Any false god, idol, cult, false religion. I renounce any initiation rite into any club, brotherhood, lodge, fraternity, sorority, or any order which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin. I break all demonic subjugation. Demonic soul ties. Or bondage. To my mother and father. Grandparents. Spouses. Ex-spouses. Or any other human being. Living or dead. Who's ever dominated me. Or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all curses of psychic heredity and any demonic hold on my family line as a result of the disobedience of my ancestor, spouse, or ex-spouse. I break all curses of mental or physical illness on my family line. I break any curse on me, on my family, from occult to demonic origin, and command it to return to the sender. Every eye in the name of Jesus, I renounce every cult that denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Every philosophy denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I confess I've committed sexual sin. I do repent and turn away. Ask forgiveness. I confess I've committed the following. Hear quietly, if you have sexual sin in your life, very quietly under your breath. Confess it. Everybody look straight ahead. Confess it very quietly. Anything the Holy Spirit brings to mind. Any dirty movies? Dirty jokes?
lustful thoughts that you've entertained? God brings it to mind. Confess it as a sin. I do now accept your forgiveness and cleansing according to your word. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I notify you. I'm claiming all areas that I previously yielded to you. I reclaim these now. And I close these doors forever. Specifically, I claim freedom from sexual sin and lust. And I bind you and your host. Command you to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved, but I resented certain people. I have unforgiveness against them. I confess this as sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. This time we're going to pause for a few minutes and let the Holy Spirit bring up anybody that you've got aught in your heart against. You need to forgive them. It's an act of your will. Forgiveness is an act of your will, something you decide you're going to do. It's not a feeling, it's something you decide you're going to do. I forgive you. And so you say, I forgive. You name the people, living or dead, who've hurt or disappointed you. Those that the Holy Spirit brings up, those that you know. I do now. Forgive myself. In the name of Jesus. People, it's very important that you forgive yourselves. If you don't forgive yourself, remember that Jesus has forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself. Unforgiveness to yourself will block your deliverance, shut you off from God. Dear Lord, Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross. For my sins. And rose from the dead. For my justification. You redeemed me. By your blood. I belong to you. I want to live for you. I confess all my sins. Known and unknown. I renounce them all. I turn from them. Jesus' name. Now I come to you as my deliverer. Lord Jesus. Claiming the promise. In Joel 2:32. Anyone who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. You know my special needs. The thing that binds and torments. Defiles. That evil, unclean spirit. I call upon you, Lord Jesus, to set me free. Satan, I renounce you and all your works. I loose myself from you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave me right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody put both feet on the floor. Put your feet on the floor. Both feet. It's a witchcraft sign to cross your limbs. You know, the old saying, cross your fingers. Mean you can lie. I didn't mean it because I had my fingers crossed. Don't cross your limbs. Praise your Lord God. The devil takes that very seriously. The devil is an absolute legalist. He knows that word better than you do.
Yes.
Right. Yes. He's an absolute legalist. That's the reason it's important, spiritual warfare, that you know the word of God. That you're able, as Jesus stood against him on the time of temptation. He stood against him with the word. You stand against him with the word. And he will always hit you at a time that you don't have the word with you. It hits you going down the freeway when you ain't got your concordance and you can't look it up. That's the reason you need to bear it in your heart. Because then the Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance. He said, I'll bring to remembrance what you need to know. But you got to bury it there. It's your responsibility to bury it in your heart. Put it in your heart. God will give you the weapon to fight with. Lord Jesus, I just bind the spirit of rejection in these people now in the name of Jesus Christ. You spirit of rejection, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You turn God's people loose. These are redeemed people. They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:6 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. They've been accepted into beloved. They are members of the family of God. They've been adopted by Jesus Christ. Turn it loose, rejection. Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by lover, rejection by husband, by children, by the job, by friends. In the name of Jesus, rejection, I bind you. Turn them loose now. All rejection be gone in the name of Jesus. Come on out, rejection. Turn them loose now. You can't torment them anymore. Rejection in the name of Jesus. Fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear. I bind fear. Fear. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear. Fear. The perfect love of our Lord Jesus Christ does cast out all fear, for fear has torment. You can't torment these people. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not having enough. Fear of being poor. Fear of going broke. Fear of dying. Fear of going to hell. Fear. I bind you in the name of Jesus. All demonic fear, all witchcraft fear, all bondage to fear, I break you in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone, fear. Fear. All fear. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go, you accursed thing. Go in the name of Jesus. All fear. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear. All ego, pride, and vanity in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of pride, ego, and vanity in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to leave God's people. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus. Be gone, ego, pride, and vanity. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Be gone, for proud look is an abomination to God. All pride, pride, go, 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 in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Haughty spirit, spirit of haughtiness, haughtiness, conceited, arrogant, boastful, be gone. All arrogant, boastful spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go now, in the name of Jesus, be gone, be gone. All spirits of witchcraft. Witchcraft.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.